What's up, guys? We are back with another episode of Pound for Pound. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
A Shot of Lime production.
And we have a special guest today, my Georgian brother, a man that needs no introduction, a man that is lighting up the social media chain, lighting up your IG every day with videos. A man on a 10-fight win streak, which is impressive. 10 fights, I believe that's what it took for me to get a title shot, I believe. I'm not sure, but 10-fight win streak, back-to-back-to-back wins over former champions. My man, the number one contender, Merab Dvalishvili. Correct me if I'm wrong with the last name, but Dvalishvili, right?
Almost. Dvalishvili.
Dvalishvili.
Can I help him?
Yes, please.
Dvalishvili.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. You got me, man.
Okay. Let's just jump right in. The elephant in the room. Obviously, you guys both fought. And it was a good fight. It was a highly anticipated fight because everybody wanted to know how you would fare against a wrestler of Henry's caliber. And you went out and you were able to get the job done. So talk a little bit about that fight. What were you feeling? The nerves of you going into that fight at all?
Yes, actually, I was nervous. But first, I want to tell you, Kamaru, thank you so much. And thank you, Henry, it's my honor to be you guys show. Really, both you guys are goats, and both I respect you, both you guys. And I was a little bit nervous to fight Henry Cejudo. Of course, you know, he's high level fighter, and then I was nervous. But then the first round, I tried to smart fight, and Henry, I lost first round. You know. He hold me down, and second round I just go back, I just do my thing, you know. I fight my fight, you know, like crazy fight, and it was working. And so it was a big challenge fight for me, but I was training for the fight. Really, I had really good training camp, and I was very competent, you know.
Right, I think that was big of you, and just shows the dog that you have inside. Because it's like when all else is failing, like your coach might see something outside and then tell you, hey, let's take this approach, let's stay on the outside and fight in, and you might be able to catch him. But as a fighter, you have to know with your own instincts that if that's not working, or if I'm just trying to wrestle him and it's not working because he's a better wrestler, I'm a higher caliber wrestler, I just have to go to what I know. And that's just letting my instincts take over. And you did. And you ended up getting that victory, which now has put you in a place that we are all highly anticipated. I would say one of the most highly anticipated fights this year, 2024, is you versus Sugar Sean O'Malley. First and foremost, before we go to that, I want to ask you a question. Do you speak Russian?
I understand, but I can't speak. I don't speak Russian, but I understand. What Henry was talking, I understand everything, but it was so disrespectful to me.
It was gold.
I got in his head though. Come on.
That was so funny to me. I shit you not. I was dying because, you know, there was this whole angle. You went full Mexican. You were like, I'm all Mexican now, and you went full Mexican, and then during the stare down, Henry's like, Davai, and you're like, yeah. I'm not Russian.
Let's fucking go.
Davai.
Hey,
Davai, Madru, Davai. Davai. Davai, you're going to
Spanish. Okay?
yeah. Now, had you have said, I speak Spanish, oh, that's ultimate troll level. But yeah, that just goes to show how big you two are of showmans, and which has put you guys on the level that you guys are at, because both of you guys know that it's not just about getting in there and fighting and getting the victories, but it's also about entertaining the masses. Obviously, it's one of the things that Henry does so well, which, I mean, doing magic shows, pulling rabbit out of hats, hey, you name it, Henry can do it all. And that's why that fight was so big and that fight, my fight was so great. But going into this fight right here, you're facing Sugar Sean O'Malley next weekend at this Fear UFC Noche. I mean, how are you feeling? How's preparation been?
Everything good. I was training like for this fight. Like after my fight, I just take a little break and I was in the gym, but I wasn't sure if I was getting this fight. You know, nobody guarantee me, and I was just hoping, and that's why I was making all these videos and skits to get this fight on Mexicans Independence Day. And like 2 months before this fight, Hunter Campbell called me and he told me I'm fighting Sugar Sean O'Malley and at the Spear, and I was so happy, released. And see, after that, of course, I started focusing fighting Sean O'Malley. And yeah, training camp has been good. I train hard and good, smart. I'm just gonna go there and just focus on myself and do what I do best. I respect as a fighter Sean O'Malley. You know, he has knockout power. He's good. He has good footwork. But I'll be fine because I training with top guys, long guys, no problem. You know, like I know what I can do. I work hard and like. I don't think he can. I mean, of course he has a chance to knock me out, stop me. But otherwise, I'm good. You know, I'm like wrestler versus striker, and I think this matchup's favor to me.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, obviously, I've been there with you, Marav. I think if there's one thing, I think one of your greatest gifts is just understanding pace. You're able to just really understand pace. And I think the biggest thing that I see in this fight with somebody like Sean, because I've been there with you, I've hurt you. Marlon Marias has been in there. He's caught you with the punch and he's hurt you. The biggest thing for me when I think of this fight is, you know, Sean O'Malley's going to be the most dangerous in the beginning of round one, the beginning of round two. But as the fight gets going, like Merab Dvalishvili is just only going to get better. I mean, obviously, you know, it happened to me. It happened to Jan. It happened to a lot of everybody that you fought before. You just tend to increase that volume. Like, what are some of the things that you're gonna do to make sure that when it comes down to round one and round two, that you're going to be a different fighter and you don't get sniped like your boy Aljo?
Listen, I may get cut or I get, you know, I don't care. I'm gonna eat and I'm gonna come. I'm gonna wake up and I'm gonna come even more hard. You know. This is I can control, you know, the things happen. We are fighters and sometimes, you know, the clip can happen. But I'm just, of course, I'm going to try to avoid this, his punches. But even if he hits me, I don't think he can knock me out. And then I will come even more hard and he's going to be in trouble, you know. So that's how I look at this. And otherwise, I've been working on my boxing skills, and I think I'm even better. And it's very very hard to clip me. Like nobody did. Even I put Jose Aldo. He, you know, I was fine with him. I wasn't able to take him down. I beat him, and then so we were standing, and I beat other guys too. And nobody even clicked me. I never got knocked down or knocked down. Like, so only Marlon Moraes, and that was you, Henry. So, but you know, so sometimes, like I wasn't, like you know, from you, Henry, I was worried more wrestling. You know how I'm gonna deal with like takedowns. But I think like you said, timing was good, and. Yeah, and sometimes when you're fighting wrestler, you have to shoot sometimes, and that's what I did against you, and that how it's worked. And yeah, but yeah.
Can I tell you something, Marab? I would love to run it back with you, man, because you did take me down a lot more than I did. But I would like to run it back just because I want to give you a fair shake. You know, I had obviously I'm not gonna make excuses, man, but I did have a growing issue. So I didn't get a chance to really wrestle or really spar But if that's the case with Sean and he's not ready condition-wise, like, he's going to be in trouble. But I think that's somewhere where I got to go back, and I respect that. I respect that game that you brought to the table was high-level condition. If you're not, if you're hurt or you're injured, you're going up against a machine like Merab, don't take the fight, man. And I think I've learned it the hard way. But that being said, you did get me, my brother. And I will say, I did lose, and I did get dominated those last two rounds. But you know, one of these days, you know, I do want to run it back, Merab, particularly with you.
Yeah, that would be.
You know, and you've always been respectful, man. You've always been respectful. You're a showman.
Yeah,
and I respect that about you, Merab.
I respect it. I love it. I, man, you guys are both, you know, competitors, and you guys did a phenomenal job. I love the fact that you guys are both still respectful. Even, I mean, after you saved Henry, you know, because that was that's he was in a fire, and you saved him for that fire. And, you know, and I wouldn't have my co-host here had you not saved him out of that fire.
Merab, I got a gift for you.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, Henry, you know, listen to this. So, you know, I have so much respect for you. And, you know, when they give me fight with you, I know I was excited. And like I tell you, I was nervous, you know, how I'm going to do. And then it's very hard sometimes when you respect fighter. But thank God you started joke about me, and then I was released, and then I come back with my other jokes, and then I was free to joke back to you. Even you make fun of me, and then when you say, I know you transfer hair, and now it's time to transfer your hair to your balls and sign the contract, I'm like, okay, Henry.
I was mad, bro.
But I was good mad. Like, you pump me out, I'm like, yes, there is no more respect here, no more. like, you got me. I was a little bit mad, you know.
I love it.
It works for me. So,
Merab,
yes.
It's okay. So let's just you said it just now. You were a bit afraid of maybe not being able to get this fight to come to fruition, but you leaned into this. I don't know whether this is something that you've always been a fan of, something that you always did, but you leaned into the social media and skit making. You leaned in hard, because I remember I saw the first clip. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, is that? I was fooled. I thought that was Sean O'Malley that walked into the PI and just walked right by you with the belt. I was like, yo, is that how close? Who made this happen? But then I saw that it was you making these skits. And I was just like, wow, okay, you've taken it to the next level when it comes to going after these fights. Is this something that you always been a fan of, is making skits and jokes and things like this? Or this was just like, hey, I have to do this to get the fight, I have to lean in?
I always like to take pictures, take video, and like, and then just show myself. I'm not afraid to make fun of myself and show just my personality. But I don't know, editing before and stuff like that. And now I came, I pay attention more for like this kind of videos, and I think about it now more to make funny videos. And it's easier to, yeah, like when Henry was joke about me, and it was easy. Oh, now what should I do against Henry? Because Henry was talking, and he's English, he's smart man, he can talk and just make fun of me. But I have to do something special, because I cannot, with talk, me and Henry, like we did like this, like we did video call like this, Henry will beat me, you know, with conversation, you know. But, and then, you know, that's why, you know, when he was talking, I know I cannot keep up with you talking in press conference. And then that's why I had to do something special. And I ordered Mexican flag online. I put it in my pocket, and I don't tell no one. And when Henry started talking, you know, trash talking to me, what should I, you know? Of course he was gonna beat me, and that's why I pull up Mexican flag and I say what I say. I'm gonna make Mexican people happy, because Mexican people needs
to represent Mexican flag. I'm gonna represent Mexico on February 17. Let's go! Let's go, guys!
And so, yeah, and then like I look Henry's like of course he was making pillow like with fighters, and he was throwing, and you know, like I was, when Henry was kicking, I was missing and added video, you know, things like that. And now I pay attention more and it works. And I think it was big reason why I got this fight against O'Malley and at the spare, you know, because I was pushing, I was making. So yeah, the guy actually who looks like Sean O'Malley, he's from Georgia actually.
Really?
And we have mutual friend, and like he take a picture with me after Henry's fight, and somebody told me that he looked like Sean O'Malley. When they show me picture, I said no, and then they Photoshop, they put a wig on, and I said yes, and then I fly this guy from California to Vegas, and then I had two ideas to make video, and I'm like, let me prank people, let me first. That's why I did first video, like we met like random, like I bought a belt from Aljamain Sterling, I give him, we put a clown wig, and then like, yes, this that's was, how it came, it's how it started. And every time I have to make a new video, I have to apply the guy to from California to Las Vegas.
Wow.
That's how it was, yeah.
That's
it's work.
Yes, this is, that shows, first and foremost, it shows just your IQ of understanding that, hey, if it came down to me and Henry just having a debate based on the language barrier and my English, I can't keep up there. So what can I do to give myself that leg up? So that just goes to show how smart you are as far as figuring things out, which also shows inside the cage. But this is what champions are made of. You have to invest in yourself, not just in your fighting, but you're investing time of making these videos of flying this guy out, which ultimately has got you the fight, which has you on the cusp of becoming UFC champion now, which once you become champion, that money just, you know, cha-ching, they start rolling in. So,
yes, sir.
You know, I love the gamble. Yeah. I think it's that's what every challenge, every contender needs to understand, that you're going to have to make those sacrifices in order for it to cash in big. And you it seems like you have done that. And now, hey, September, what is it, September 14th?
14th, yes.
September 14th, live at the Sphere. You are going to be the first fighters to be able to headline in that arena. How do you feel about the whole show? Because Dana has stated that this is going to be once in a lifetime type of show.
Yeah, this is huge. Kamaru, I think you agree with me. This is every UFC fighter's dream to fight at the Sphere because it's the first and last, and especially I'm fighting for main event UFC belt. This is really big for me. I was, when they announced, that was dream. Like, wow, I wish I can fight in there. But now I'm a headliner there. But now, like, it's, I'm just focused of just fight. I'm not, like, everything will be cool, but I just want to win this fight. That's what I'm focused on against O'Malley, and make sure I will do everything correct. And I have bigger responsibility now because this is my chance. I have to win the belt, and then, I mean, this is dream for every UFC fighter, and this is my dream. And I need one more step to win this belt.
Right.
Yeah, and just to touch up on that, so I want to go back to the O'Malley fight. Like, what are some of the strengths and the weaknesses that you see in a guy like that? And obviously, he did beat your former training partner, which I still go back and say, man, and I'm a big fan of Mark Goddard until then. Like, I think Mark Goddard could have really let that fight. He could have. Aljo was still in the fight. Yes. Yeah, did he get clipped? 100%. Was he still in there?
Yes.
100%. Like, how much of this is obviously you and Aljo, you guys have been together. And obviously, I understand the brotherhood, man. I got, you know, Bruno De Silva. You know, I got a lot of friends that I'm super close to. Just, you know, closer to, you know, close, just like a brother. You know, how much would this fight mean to you to be able to avenge that to a guy that he beat and your brother and Aljo shit stank Sterling? So I just had to throw that out there.
Come on, Henny. So of course, I wanna win this fight, and I wanna show the world he's just a regular fighter and he just got lucky because he did toe punch, he did click Aljamain Sterling, but Margada really helped him because when Aljo was down, he was keep moving, he was trying to grab the leg, he was moving, and when Margada called him move, he moved and then he stopped. If you tell him move and he moved, then why you stop? You know, me, when I fight, before the fight, you know, in locker room, when referee comes, I always tell referee, hey, please, if I get clicked, don't stop me. Let me fight. I rather sleep. I rather die. Then of course, you stop me. But long as I'm moving, I'm doing something, please don't stop me because I don't need you. You save me. What do you save me? I'm here. I'm spending all my energy, training camp, and like, this is my chance. This is my opportunity. Like, I show, like, Marlon Moraes, you know, crack me, and I came back. You know, you know, it's happened. It's always happened so many times, you know. And, Aljo was still in this fight, but I was so mad, like, when Margada stopped the fight early again. This is also, like you said, Henry, this is avenge, this loss, like, not avenge, like, O'Malley beat my friend Aljo, and to get this win back, it will be big for us, you know, because I'm gonna show world he's just regular fight and he just got lucky.
Is that one of the things that you may be looking at? Like, obviously, I've seen you in the past talk about the referee Mark Goddard. Is that one of the things that you're gonna talk to the UFC about? Maybe, you know, having somebody else like a Herb Dean or Herb Dean.
I'm just afraid of Margada because I had fight 2018 against Ricky Simon, and I was winning the fight. I shoot to double leg. I hit my head in floor and he got me choked. And he was holding me last 1 minute and I don't tap. I made to bell and the referee let me fight and I wasn't out or something. And they was gonna score the points. And I was winner, but Margada was side referee. I think he jumped in and he tell I was in and out and something like this. And then after this, I'm like, who is this Margada? And after I watch, every time he's in referee, I see he, every time somebody get knocked down, Margada just rushing and he just jump, like always trying to stop early. And that's why that's why I'm afraid. But I don't know if I can do anything about it. I mean, if Margada will be my referee, who I am, I mean, I'm just going to fight and I'm going to ask him again, please don't stop me early. And I don't think I control this and whoever will be. And listen, I'm just a regular fighter. I cannot control nothing. And it's just...
No, I hear you. That's a good point. But they do say... you want to keep the judges out of your fight. And I think there's a difference in certain types of fighters, though. Like a fighter like yourself, who referees have seen be clipped, come down and really put it on a guy and pour it on, then referees kind of understand. They've seen you fight. They know your style of fight. And they know that, okay, even if he's down, I know that this guy is still in there and this guy can still come back and can still fight. But if it's a guy that they've never seen clipped, they've never seen hurt like that, they've never seen down, kind of like Aljo, then of course, because their job ultimately is to protect you from yourself in there. Because like you mentioned, when we step in there, we're willing to die in there. So the referee is supposed to make sure that does not happen. So he has to try to save you in there. So they're going to try to do their job. And it's, I think a big part of it is knowing what type of fighter they're reffing. So if they're reffing a guy like you, they know can be clipped, but he's going to still be 100% coming back the next round or fight through that. Then I think it gives them a little bit more leeway for them to watch you and go, okay, I know he's hurt, but he can continue to fight.
Championship fights, Kamaru. I mean,
you can't let guys die in there. You can't let guys die in there.
No,
if it's a guy you've never seen clipped.
I defend the side of Aljo what Merab is talking about because Aljo was still moving, bro.
No, I get that, and I watched that.
And the problem is, dude, I was a big fan of Mark Goddard, dude. But when it comes to a world championship fight, like, dude, let them show a stiffness to them. Like, what? Come on, dude,
stiffness? Or, you want him out cold?
Of course. Yes. Dude, ask Merab.
Merab.
You want to lose? You want to take the chances?
I'd rather take some months off. Then, you know, if referee stopped me early and I know I have a, I still have a, like, something left to fight, I will be, like, all my life, this will bother me, you know, because, oh, right. No, I wasn't out. Like, you know, I was fighting. Like, it's a fight. Okay, well, let me tell you one, for example. So when Marlon Moraes clicked me once and he followed me and he dropped me, and that time maybe I was fighting, but I lost like 1 second, 2 seconds. But I was still fighting. Of course, like in my head, I know he was gonna click. He was gonna punch me hard. And then I came back and I beat him. And when I came, like I did interview and then after people, wow, what you just did? I'm like, what I did? I was in the fight. Like I don't did anything specially.
Right.
And then when I see video, I see. Oh, I understand now. But still, like. I was in the fight, you know, when you are fighting, you are ready to get click, get punched, you know, you're going to eat, you're going to come back. Right. And then, yeah, you are fight. That's why, you know, like there is so many ways to like come back and, you know, like,
that's
why we make, it's not boxing, you know, it's not boxing. When you drop somebody and then you leave there and you go to corner, if you go wrestling, maybe he grabs you, he chokes you.
Right.
I forgot the guy's name, the Ryan, he's 145, like the Ilya Topuria finish him, what's his name? He's a jiu-jitsu guy.
Oh yeah, Ryan Hall? Is it Ryan?
Yeah,
Hall?
I think so. Yeah, every time he's going down, he's falling down and he makes you to go in and he gets you something. Or the other guy, he finished Jamal Hill. He finished Ankalaev, the guy, jiu-jitsu guy. He gets clipped. And then after that, that's when he's like, even Vanessa, she's fighting this like tomorrow. Vanessa Dapolos.
Oh yeah, Vanessa Dapolos.
Yeah, she got clipped. She got knocked down.
Yes.
And then she wake up. She had armbar and she finished armbar like crazy. She get dropped. Like she said, she don't remember. And then she wake up. She has like armbar and she finished the other girl. That's MMA. That's what I mean.
You're absolutely right. And I think what you can do is what you have said is. When the referee comes in the back to give you instruction, you just that's your chance to let him know, hey ref,
yeah,
I'm gonna listen to your command and I'm gonna do everything in my power to fight. If I'm clipped, if I'm hurt, and you ask me to fight back, I'm gonna do everything to fight back. Just allow me the chance to fight back. Yes. And I think that's what you can do. All right, guys, let's take a quick break from Merab to give a big thank you to our partners at Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports.
The NFL is back. Underdog has more free picks for users to cash in on. This week, we get a CeeDee Lamb free pick, which means the Dallas wide receiver only needs 1 yard for you to win. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, New York, and Florida. Use code P4P when you sign up to support the show. Click the link below to get started.
Well, my question for you is, what would this mean for you if you go in there next weekend, defeat Sugar Sean O'Malley, and you become the second Georgian-born champion in the UFC? I mean, it's never been done.
It's been a dream for a long time coming, and even it was like a couple years ago, I was even hoping to just get in UFC and just to be UFC fighter. Now I'm here, I'm number one contender and I'm fighting for the belt. This is really huge, and to become champion, this is gonna be really historical for me and for my legacy. And after, if I win belt, after I'm ready for die, I'm ready for whatever. I'll be just so like released to hold the belt at least one time. And this is like really dream to come UFC champion, and especially this time, like 135 division, really hot now. A lot of good guys, even guys not top 15, really good talented people. And I sometimes I don't think over and I don't think too much about it, because I just want to feel organic, you know. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but actually I do know. I want to do a lot of good things with this belt. I want to travel the world. At first, I'm gonna go, of course, Georgia, and I'm gonna celebrate with my people, and I'm gonna help young generations to like start training. Like I want to open some gyms, like donation, like gyms, like, you know, to in Georgia. I think jiu-jitsu is very important for like for MMA, and good base, I think, for mm-hmm. MMA fighters. And I want to open a bunch of jiu-jitsu gyms in Georgia. Like I just want to pay the coaches, and just I'm sure it's gonna have a good results like couple years later.
But Rob, you sound like Miss Universe, bro. You wanna give love to the whole world, bro. Anyways, I have something for you, Marab. Yes. Obviously, you know, you've been out on the, you know, it's been out publicly, man. I do believe you're gonna beat Sean O'Malley. I think the biggest thing is you do got to be careful the first and second round, and then after you get past that, I think you're golden. But you win this fight, man. Obviously, there is a guy. There is, to me, he is the boogeyman of the division, Umar Nurmagomedov, man. And obviously, I've heard things you want. You want to fight a guy like Davison Figueiredo. But obviously, a guy like Umar Nurmagomedov, he's undefeated. The way he was able to control and beat a title contender in Corey Sandhagen. I mean, what is it? Why don't you want to fight a guy like that after you beat a guy like Sean O'Malley?
Okay.
Tell me the truth, bro.
Okay, yeah, I'm telling the truth. For me, he's not boogeyman. Listen, I will fight him, no problem. If UFC offers me, of course I will fight him, no problem. I even say yes after I beat Peter Yan. I say yes to him because I was injured and doctor not let me allowed me fight, because I did surgery after this. And I even, when I see Kamaru Usman in UFC, I even ask something about hand injury because I was injured. But yeah, I will fight Umar. It's no problem. Listen, I'm here for fight. You know, like even, you know, we are fighters, and when they offer us fight, we are fight. I'm not afraid nobody, and I'm not afraid to anything. You know, I'm that's why it's interesting and challenge for me to when I'm thinking Peter Yan is dangerous and I'm gonna fight him, and if I beat, and when I beat, I was so happy, and of course it's more even enjoyable. The same thing Jose Aldo, he was legend for me, and I beat him. Wow, like it was even better. Same thing you, Henry, you huge and you good, and yeah, you beat me first round, and when I second next two rounds I win, and then it was good, you know. I like these big challenges, but I don't see Umar Nurmagomedov big challenge. Yeah, maybe he's a good fighter, but number one thing, he don't deserve title fight because he's been fighting nobody's. Like just right before fight, he beat debut guy. He wins decision, and then now he got only one win from top 15, Corey Sandhagen, and then now he's been disrespectful to me, and then like. Just, yeah, I will fight him, no problem. But I think he just don't deserve. Figueroa deserve more because he just beat three tough guy, one former champion, he finished one, Corey Garbrandt, and he deserved more, and he's been nice, and he's been like, you know, respect. He's a good fighter. He's even big. You know, listen, he's even even big name, and then he knocks people out. He has a good submission. He's always been big. You know, when I see him, he was bigger than me. He was 74 kilo. I'm not big. I'm like 71, 70 kilo. That's it, my maximum. But he was 74 kilo. Figueiredo is even bigger than me. But and I see him as a big challenge. That's why I want to pick Edo. But listen, I'm who I am. I never choose fight. Whatever UFC wants, I will fight. But first, I have O'Malley. I will fight him. I want to win. I'm sure I'm going to win this fight. And after, I will fight whoever UFC will offer me. But I'm just saying, truth is, O'Malley don't deserve to title fight. Figueiredo deserved more. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Because if you break it down like that, he's fought the guy in the rankings, at least top five. Our top seven is Sanhagen. So, yes, of course, that puts him up there. But when you've got a guy like Figueiredo, I don't know what is Figueiredo ranked. And he's former champion in the division below. He's ranked fifth, and he's a former champion in the division below. And he just beat Garbrandt, who is a former champion. I mean, and then
he just beat Sori Kamaru. He just beat the title challenger Chito Vera.
True. Yes. So I get it. If we're going by the ranking senses, it makes more sense 100%. But at the same time, we have to understand, and I want you to understand this. This is one thing I'm going to tell you, Marab. If God, by God's grace, you are the champion, you have to understand that as the champion, now I have to use this belt, this position, to accumulate as much income as I can at that time, because time waits for nobody. At some point, we're going to get old, we're going to change, and the belt is going to change hands. There's going to be new champions. Even whether you retire the champion or not, there's going to be a new champion. So the job, the goal, is to pull in as much as you can while you're in that position. And we can't deny that a fight with a guy like yourself and Umar Nurmagomedov would be a bigger sell than a fight with Davidson Figueiredo at this time. Even though Figueiredo, I still think, is a big name. He's a really big name. And I think he definitely is a worthy opponent. But a fight with Umar Nurmagomedov would be a bigger fight, I believe, because based on how I know the UFC is going to sell that fight, it's going to be a bigger payday for yourself, Murat. And I hope you use it as that bigger payday.
Yeah, brother. But okay, mate, I understand Kamaru, and respect you. Okay. I'm gonna focus on Mali, and whoever UFC wants next, I will fight. But this is still what I believe, and me, I respect guys who's been, fighting, who's been here in top 15 and who's been fighting everybody and who deserved more. And that's why I respect you guys, because you've been there and you've been champion and you've been this top level. That's why, I don't like hype, and I don't like because of you somebody's cousin, and that's why you got pushed, because we all earn to get here. And Kamaru, you get a hard time. I remember they wasn't give you a title fight long time. You was chasing. Like other guys too. But yeah, Umar just get pushed. And that's a little bit like unfair. That's all, That's all.
So what message do you have for a guy like Umar Nurmagomedov?
Listen, nothing. I'm just, if UFC offers me fight him, I will fight. And nothing, I don't know if I can even joke him, he's like,
You want an opponent you can joke with. I like it.
If they give me...
Why not, my brother?
You see, I was joking with you, Henry. It was cool.
I think Umar, you can. Umar has a personality. He's a fun guy. I think obviously when it's a fight, they get a lot more serious. But Umar's a fun guy, I think.
Okay, I hope so. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, but real quick, I'm going to ask a question.
With Figueiredo, I can make fun of funny videos.
Yes.
I don't know if Umar really can make funny videos.
Okay, quick question. What was it, last week or 2 weeks ago, you had a cut? Or was that you trolling Dana? Yeah. What happened? That was a cut.
Yeah, I really got cut. So what happened was, it was sparring, but like wrestling position. I just clicked my sparring partner, and I tell him, "You okay?" He said, "You okay?" And then I tried to start wrestling because I don't want to keep punching him again. And I changed I was here, my head was here, and I changed the level to hip. And I hit my eye to the hip. The hip bone. Then open. Yeah, I guess I have a scar tissue, and I wanted to do stitches just in case. You know, I have a fight in 3 weeks, and I don't want to like risk, and I don't want to stop training. That's why I go to doing stitches, and I have my phone in my hand, and I wanted to look how big is scar and yeah. how she's stitching, and I open my Instagram. And I try to make a story, but I'm like, oh, let me go live. A long time I don't go in live Instagram. And I go live, and I saw a lot of people was watching me. And then because of a lot of people was watching me, and then I leave a post there, and then I forget. And a couple hours later, I see Dana White was so mad about me. And I'm like, wow. I'm sorry, Dana.
Yeah, I understood what he meant though, because he's like,
yes.
He's like, bro, we finally gave you that chance and that opportunity, and and then you are people, because you know that scares everybody, because you have to understand that this is a business. People are paying to watch you fight that night. Bars and restaurants have already paid to watch you fight Sean O'Malley, and so when you put that out, that scares everybody. Like, oh no, Merab is out. Was he's out of the fight? Like, do we ask for a refund? Do we ask, you know? So you can imagine him being in his position. He freaks out. He's like, "Oh shit! Why did you have to put it on there?" But it just goes to show how much you've leaned into you've kind of come into your own as finding out who you are as a competitor, as an athlete, and obviously as an entertainer, because you entertain me. I've seen a few of those videos, and. The ice cream one, that was hilarious to me. That was hilarious. When she leans over, she thought you were being a nice guy, and you eat her ice cream.
Merab Dvalishvili. I was gonna tell you, man. We had Sean O'Malley on our podcast for about 14 seconds.
Wow.
You know, he decided to say something about me because Aljo couldn't take him down. I personally think he's super, super sensitive. So if I can give you my 2 cents, I'd keep picking on him, dude, because he's a sensitive dude. And from the people that I do know of him, that he's a sensitive guy. So he pretty much came on pound for pound just to troll me that Aljo couldn't take him down. So I just want to say, man, that continue to keep doing what you're doing. Fight week comes about. Continue to keep picking on Sean. I think mentally you can get to him. I think he's super sensitive. And those are just my 2 cents, man. And you know, we're rooting for you over here. Hopefully you get that W, man. And I think, you know, I would like to fight Sean O'Malley next.
Right. I think it's a fantastic fight, Merab. But before we go, let you go, everyone kept asking me this question, and I know how I felt about it when I was champion. But when you go in there next weekend and you get the job done, and now there's two champions from Georgia, there's a bantamweight champion and a featherweight champion. Is there a world where we see you go up potentially and challenge for that featherweight title?
Never. I will never fight Ilya first. He's my brother. I really love him. He's a little younger than me, but he's very smart and very, very good guy. Very good guy, you know. Even he talks trash in like social media against his opponents, but he's a nice guy. He's a very family guy and a good friend of mine. And I will never fight him first, you know. First, because of, you know, he's my friend. I've been sparring with him, and he destroyed me, you know. Like, he's stronger than me, so. And then let's leave it like this, you know. Like, no, like I said, I'm not afraid to fight, but Ilya is my friend, Georgian, and I will never fight him. And I'm very comfortable in my weight class here, 135. I don't think I will go up and fight for the belt. It's not going to happen for me because... to fight this level, I don't think I can change the weight class and fight for the belt. I can go fight some fights, like some matchups. Yes, I will. But to be fight against like Volkanovski, Max Holloway, I don't think I'm not confident yet. I'm good here on 135. I maybe someday, if I start a diet, I can even maybe go down 125, maybe. But I don't think for like to 45. Challenge another belt, I don't think I'm gonna go in for the belt.
Well, no.
And especially now, I have a two friend in 145 division. Right. I have now right. Aljamain Sterling is there too.
Yeah, right. So. No, I get it, and I agree. I felt the exact same way. And you are 100% right. Ilia Topuria, I got a chance to meet him and to just kind of be around him from a distance while he was training down here in South Florida. And amazing guy and a guy that kind of has this, it's set up for him to get to where he's at. And just that's just a fantastic thing to watch someone just kind of build themselves and get to the level where he's at and the level that you're potentially going to be at come next weekend. Do you, if you get it done against Sugar Sean O'Malley, I think it's going to be fantastic. We're all going to be watching myself, Henry, everyone here at Pound for Pound. We're going to be watching Merab Dulashvili as he takes on Sugar Sean O'Malley, September 14th, live from the Sphere, UFC 306. And you guys are going up against Canelo Alvarez as well, taking on Edgar Berlanga right across the street at the T-Mobile Arena. How you think that? What do you think about that matchup? You think that's, you watch boxing at all?
I don't watch boxing that close, but I mean, I don't know. I know Canelo Alvarez. I don't know his opponent. That's why I will go. I will always pick Canelo Alvarez. Like I don't know other guys, so I think Canelo. Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
I don't watch boxing. You know, I don't want to distract. You know, I watch only MMA.
Yeah.
Boxing only like big fights. You know, only. But I'm not very familiar with boxing.
Yeah. Well, Merab, dude, before we cut it here, man, I just want to say, man, keep that. You know, just keep your hands up, dude. I think that's the biggest thing, man. If I can give you, you know, and particularly those first couple rounds, you know, your defense. I do believe that your defense in those first couple, yeah, is going to be key. And I think if he doesn't touch your chin, or if he doesn't touch you to the body, I think his agility, his own movement will kind of get him tired. And I think I personally have it. You know, a lot of people have asked me, what do you think, Henry? How do you think this fight's gonna go? I think you're gonna stop him around. I think you're gonna stop a guy like O'Malley. Just allow him to keep working, allow him to keep throwing, just good defense. Do not stray away from there. It's like kind of what I told. I know I kind of trolled Aljo, but Aljo was serious. Like he literally sent me a message. Like, hey man, what do you think about this fight? And I told Aljo, I says, and this is, you know, obviously I had to troll Aljo for fucking asking me for advice. But I says, don't react to his fakes. I think the biggest thing is don't react to his fakes and don't go back linear. And same thing for you, Merab. I hope your peripherals and whatnot, that you just don't go back or don't get too psyched. If a shot hits you, it hits you. Don't react to it. Press him forward. Be careful with that knee up the middle now that he's throwing that, like how he caught Chito Vera. And I think if you're able to do that, I truly do believe, Merab, that you'll stop him, dude. You should stop him between the fourth or fifth round.
Thank you, Henry. I would.
But I think, yeah, keep running with it, Merab. Like keep running with it, man. Like obviously it was a good move. And if you watch even before we fought, I'm like, man, he fucking pulled that thing off really good. Because I'm already known as the Mexican hater. Because I was born in America. I was born in America, my brother. And yeah. I love my country. I love the United States. And I think when people just, it's like me when I called you Russian. Called you Russian, it's like you're not Russian, you're Georgian. Yeah, so I kind of somewhat you know, obviously it is my heritage, but I'm also, you can't just say I'm Mexican without me saying that I'm an American, you know, because I represented my country at the Olympics and things like that. But, you know, do what you got to do, Merab. I respect, man. I think since the beginning, since we met each other, we've always had that, dude. And I think I never really liked shaking nobody's hand, but there's never any real animosity, man. But one thing I will say, we do got to run it back.
Okay, I would love
to. We're gonna run it back,
guys like you. I would love to fight, man. Listen, if I lost against you, I won't be mad, really. But like the guys don't deserve to be here or something. Yeah, I will fucking hate that. But with you, I will fight, and then I won't be mad if I lost against you, because you know, yeah, I would love to fight with you again, of course.
Okay.
All right, my brother.
Hope we're still rolling, because we can hold them to it.
Okay.
All right, Henry, we just had my man Merab Dvalishvili.
Dvalishvili,
yes, on. And it was a great interview getting to talk to Merab. Merab is a very, very, very respectful guy, a guy that definitely takes his craft very seriously. But he's kind of coming to his own as the entertainer as well. It's not just about the fighting anymore. It's about entertaining the masses. And that's what I think makes for a great champion, is understanding that you're a whole package. And I can't wait. I think it's going to be a fantastic fight. You have your opinions on the fight. I have my opinions on the fight. Nonetheless, I think it's going to be a fantastic fight.
Okay, so what you're saying, then, Kamaru, is there an egg on the line? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's going to be a fantastic fight. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think stylistically, it seems like Merab, like he, you know, just his mentality of him being organic with everything that he's doing, it's just, it's a different perspective. And everybody is different. I think the biggest thing is he's coming to his own. You know, he's becoming a fan favorite. You know, he understands the showbiz side of things, and obviously the dude could fight. I think a 5-round fight with Merab is very dangerous, man. It's a very dangerous fight because of his gas tank and his conditioning. But overall, man, just hearing him speak, it's like he's very kind of nonchalant, but there is that pride with him to be able to avenge this loss for his friend, you know, Aljamain Sterling. And I go back to it's not that I'm hating. I really do believe that Mark Goddard could have allowed that to go on a little bit more, because Aljo did win the first round. And again, he's dangerous. Sean O'Malley is dangerous between the first and second round. And I think the longer this fight goes, and Merab doesn't necessarily even have a game plan. His game plan is just like, I'm just going to go. I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to go. I'm not going to stop. And when you get this guy for 5 rounds, if you're injured, if you're not in shape, I mean, you're fucked.
Right, right. And one thing that I really like too is being like, it's crazy to really be the first. In the world that we live in nowadays, there's been so many things that have been rinse and repeat that have happened. But for Merab, gets a chance to be the second ever Georgian champion within a year span. They had two champions within a year span. Just like us, when I became a champion, my Nigeria had two champions within 2 months of each other. And so if Merab is able to go in there now, Georgia is going to have two champions simultaneously within a year of both of them winning the belt. So I think that's something that's going to be very, very special for him. And as he said, he has big, big aspirations to go back to Georgia and really kind of push forward, pay it forward, and get martial arts into the culture there, to where they start with a base and a foundation like jiu-jitsu, to where eventually it could lead into an import of Georgian fighters. So myself, I'm extremely excited about that, because I love to see guys that chase this dream of becoming champions actually get a chance to be championed. And I think it's a tough fight. I think it's a really, really tough fight, because it's almost like you got a handgun and you got to go in there and fight somebody who's got a sniper rifle, but you start the fight at distance. So how do you close the range to be able to use that? So I love the fight. I just want to see a fantastic fight, Henry. I like both guys, but I just want to see a fantastic fight.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And that's, I mean, I think it'd be one or two ways. I think that this is the only way that you can kind of, you know, obviously anything could happen, dude. You know, were we wrong against Gaethje and Holloway? Yeah. Who the fuck was expecting that? You know, I mean, it all depends on that appointed time. Who is it that shows the hell up? Because it's true. And I probably should have told Merab, like, Sean O'Malley right now in camp, like, he's having a hard time getting up, dude, against guys that don't have the same wrestling that a guy like Merab has and top control that he has. Like, you know, if but then again, if Sean shows up,
he could show up and show out. And I didn't necessarily want to give those pointers out. And I hope Marab is watching. Maybe I'll text him later. But because Sean O'Smelly, because the dude you still want to be cool with wants to be a dick, well, then you know what? You can have a dick back. And you forgot to say pause.
I'm glad you knew that was a pause, Bubba. Woo! For sure.